Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Gnostic Media's Unspun, episode number 103. I'm your host, Jan Irvin. Today I'm joined by Robert Rowe. Thanks for joining us, Robert. And we've got a great show coming tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. This is deep. I appreciate, by the way, I should mention that I appreciate the donations that came in this week. Some were mailed, etc. Also, who was it? Just sent a donation a few minutes ago. Brad, thanks for that. I appreciate that. But so this is a subject that we've been hovering around for the last 6 or 8 months, and Jacob Duhlman has really delved into a lot of the history of the cover-up of, you know, Joseph Scaliger and all of that. But there's also another angle that we discovered, myself, you, Robert, a friend of mine, Mark. Jacob has helped on some of this, and maybe some other people have been somewhat involved in sort of fleshing this history out. We also discovered a lot of it because of Professor Anatoly Fomenko out of the University of Moscow. So thanks to him for those, you know, discoveries. I've only read about 1.5 of his books. We're not basing this really on his theory, but our own discoveries, just as Jacob has done. And, you know, so several months back, I guess, I kind of stumbled across the idea, and I mentioned it to you, Robert, that I felt that you know, all of these books went together.
Right.
And you found a lot of scriptural precedents to support that.
Right.
And then that sort of began an avalanche of information that hasn't stopped. And you and I have to be careful, you know, all of us, because every time we crack open a book, it's like a whole avalanche of information falls out about Tartary.
Exactly. It's been just really mind blowing, you know, just like branching out of, you know, things that Fomenko was doing and what Jacob Duhlman's been working on, and seeing how all of these different pieces fit together. And, you know, and then just coming to our own little facts and things that we've been able to find because of those things. It's just, it's pretty mind blowing.
Well, you know, and I want to start off, somebody had asked a few minutes ago in the chat, what is Tartary? So I do want to cover what was Tartary. And so I'm going to show that up here on the screen, and I'm going to cover us up here for a second while I'm showing that. But, you know, so Tartary here, and this is one of my favorite images here. This shows Grand Tartary. But, you know, and this was really before they perfected maps. You can see it in this one going all the way from the coast of Europe all the way across Siberia, encompassing most of China, parts of India, all of Japan, parts of Korea. And it even went across the Pacific Ocean into the Americas. This was one massive, massive country. And, you know, if you want to understand it in terms of how they might refer to it, it was the old world order that is juxtaposed to the new world order today. And Tartary was the largest empire that the world had ever seen. And it was, you know, it was a kingdom. It was basically composed of 12 hordes or 12 tribes. And there was the northern section and the southern and eastern, all of this different stuff. But so, and we're, you know, like I said, we've been spending the last 6 months just getting our minds around this story. But, you know, so things like, you know, first off, you know, things that people need to understand right away is, like, there's farces that we've all been fed, like the Great Wall of China, for instance, right? You know, or, you know, it was the Great Wall of Tartary, you know, and the openings to the wall were on the north, not the south, and it was to keep the Chinese out, not the Mongols. And Mongols were, or really the Tartars.
Right. That's why it's so difficult because of all the inversion and everything that's been going on, all the, you know, fuckery, lack of better wording.
excuse us, kids.
So it's just the more I look into this stuff, the more certain groups that are named a certain way, that's not even who is actually being talked about. You know, and so it's such a hard thing to wrap your mind around because there's so much flip-flopping with identities and everything, and the names of individuals, names of groups, not to mention, you know, taking whole histories and then putting it somewhere else, you know.
Right. Yeah, they've literally taken entire histories and switched it from this vast region that covered Europe and Siberia and Asia, and they've switched it into the Middle East and into Italy, etc. Basically, well,
I know.
Yeah, it's just so vast. Yeah, where do we even begin for this? How we'd originally come across this was probably flamenco, and then you start looking it up, just typing it in and just going, wow, this is real. And then the more you look at it, the more you realize everything about Tartary was fake. Like, for instance, Tartary has been likened to hell. In fact, if you look up the word Tartary in the dictionary, it says hell. And, you know, so they've actually gone through and they've inverted everything about it. Now, Constantinople, which was originally, now when I lived in Serbia, they called it Tsarigrad, which would have been, the Russians call it Tsargrad. And when I lived in Serbia in my 20s, they would always tell me that Serbia, you know, the capital of Serbia was Tsarigrad, and it was the largest empire in the world. And I used to hear this stuff when I lived there, and I thought they were completely freaking nuts. And I had just never heard any of this stuff in my American education. No place had anyone ever discussed that there was this massive, vast empire that stretched most of the planet. And that, you know, I mean, when you look at history, the fact that they simply erase it raises so many red flags. And then you just have to begin to pierce the veil. So Jacob's work on the Dark Ages and all really helped us to see how much they had faked the Dark Ages and how much it comes down through Jacob Bernays and Edward Bernays and into the Royal Society and how, you know, and from there into the Fabians and into the CIA, and they create this whole lie to keep it all, you know, to keep the lie perpetuated and to keep this whole thing covered up.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just... you know, it just ties right into the usual suspects, and you know, at least in modern times. And then with what Jacob's uncovering, it's like, oh, they were doing the same thing back then.
Well, you know, and we've found various layers of it. I don't want to give too much away yet, but we do also even know how the Tartars were wiped out. The quote unquote, this, it just gets too good. The quote unquote Black Plague. You can't make this stuff up.
Right.
But what we need to explain to people is that Tartary was essentially run on, well, natural law and, you know, the laws of nature. And truth was their utmost, truth and honor were their utmost apparent thing. So. The 12 tribes of Tartary, from everything that we can tell, apparently it was they who wrote all of the books that we today call Christianity and the books of the Old Testament, the New Testament, etc. Now, and I have a stack of books here that we're going to be going in today, and you've got a stack there as well. You know, so, and I think this is Robert's first show, so he might be a little bit nervous. So just pretend the audience isn't there, and you know, and we'll just talk like we always do, but, you know. But, so, you know, basically what we found is that a lot of these books actually go together, and when you start putting this stuff together, It's known as the House of Israel. So why don't we first talk about that? Where do we get this concept of the House of Israel from?
Right. Well, so the way most people are familiar with it is, you know, we have the Old and New Testament. And so it's a family or structure or a family order. Israel, you know, had these multiple wives, and he had these descendants or whatever. And that's pretty much what made up these different tribes, because there was firstborn of each tribe that would have a natural right or a natural claim to certain, you know, inheritances and so forth. And that's where you get into some of the arguments and bickering between these different religions, even. Like the descendants of Ishmael are recognized, at least in modern times, as the Arabs, or the people who follow the Quran, you know, lack of a better way to say it. And so it's just really interesting. You know, we have these different tribes, and we're familiar as Westerners, we're familiar with the Old and New Testament, but we don't look at any of these other books really. But there's more tribes than just Judah. And the Old and New Testament is supposedly supposed to be associated with Judah. And the record of the dealings with the house of Judah in relation to natural law and truth. And so you kind of have to start asking yourself the question, well, what about all of these other tribes? Like, what are their records? You know, what is their dealings in terms of natural law, and what things did they discover and figure out, and where did they record it? That'd be an important thing to know, to have that information, you know. It's just funny that everybody keeps all of these things separate as if they're a different, you know, quote unquote religion.
Right. So, yeah. So essentially what we're saying is that, you know, and I've got all these books here, and each of these books actually talk about this. So at first, this is going to kind of sound off, but when you realize it, this is why all of the religions actually seem at contention with each other when they're actually not. And it's because it would be like when you realize that each of the books is actually like a chapter of a larger book, and they weren't just books unto themselves. So you have, for instance, the Quran. And the Quran would, for instance, go together with the Bible, Old and New Testament. Now, this is the Orthodox Study Bible, and I've got a lot to say about that as well. Now, the Muslims in, where is it here? Now, the Muslims in Shura 2 accuse the Christians and Jews of hiding, and I'm going to show it on screen here, of hiding the testimonies, and so you can see they conceal the testimony. Who is more unjust than those who conceal the testimony they have from Allah? And then, let's see, the people of the book know this as they know their own sons, but some of them conceal the truth which they themselves have. And then it talks about Allah will bring you together. You know, it's like it. There's all of this same wording, and oops, and if we go into, sorry, just a second, if we go into the Bible, we see in Ezekiel 37:15-28, it talks there about join them one another into one stick, but up here they talk about the children of Israel, and you see the children of Israel discussed throughout the Quran too. And then you also see mentioned right here in Ezekiel, the house of Israel. So this is really important here. Now, we believe the house of Israel to actually have been Tartary, and it was composed of 12 tribes. Now, so when you look in the Bible, though, again, I just showed how the Quran accuses the Jews and the Christians of hiding and altering text there. So when we get into the Orthodox Bible, we can actually see that this is true. So now this Orthodox Bible has a comparison of the Old Testament going between the Protestant, Roman Catholic, and Orthodox Bibles. And we can see there the Orthodox Bible being this one here, on the with the longest list here. And it's got many more chapters in the Protestant Bible over here. In fact, it's got 12 additional chapters, which is ironic. And then not only that, but it ends with Daniel rather than Malachi. And Daniel has three additional books called Susanna, Bell and the Serpent, or Bell and the Dragon, and Hymn of the Three Young Men. And then we also found out that other books were removed, such as the books of Enoch, Jasher, Jubilees, and then after Jasher, ironically, there's an additional 12 books that were missing. But essentially, all of these books, when combined, and I should also mention another important one that only makes sense when you delete the Dark Ages, is this one, the Book of Mormon.
Right.
You know, and so these all actually end up fitting together and coinciding. When you stop thinking in terms of the fake Scaligerian history that they've created and given us, and when you go along with understanding that the Dark Ages were faked, and with the understanding of Tartary and its collapse, suddenly all of these books make sense. And I should also mention, here's another one of the books that goes with it, you know, the Mayan Popol Vuh. And, right at the beginning of the book, it starts off talking about them sailing away and them being a conquered, fallen people, you know.
Right. And we haven't really gotten into it yet. So if anybody wants to start jumping into this research as well, a lot of the Chinese texts look like they might possibly be a part of it as well, like the Taoist text, Confucian's text, and those things. I personally haven't started digging into all of that yet, but I do know that the Chinese language itself, the characters, their writing system, the traditional characters, when you start going through and breaking those characters apart, it actually teaches things like right out of the Bible. So there's a connection there as well within the Chinese writing itself, which is probably why the Communist Party in China and over there is trying to get rid of traditional characters altogether. Now they use what they call simplified characters. And a lot of people are even starting to go further than that and use pinyin, which is the romanization of the Chinese language. So they're trying to separate everybody from all of this history. Because when you really look at all of this stuff and you analyze it, these things start jumping out at you.
So which one do we want to go into first? Well, you know what I want to do is I want to blow some people's minds with some of the discoveries that you made.
Yeah.
You know, I think why don't you introduce the world to the real history of Genghis Khan?
Right. So Genghis, our man Genghis, Changis, Genghis. interesting thing. So when you look at his father, and I don't have it right in front of me, but if you look
I do. Hold on a second. Let me just pull that up here. I got it way down here. All right. Here it is. So if you go on to like Google Translate and you translate Genghis's father's name, and why don't we just do that? I'll pull it up here.
Right.
Let's see. Sorry, folks. All right, so just so people can watch this as I do this, we're going to type this into Google Translate. And that's Genghis Khan's father's name, Hero of Jesus. Now we're told that these were Buddhists and...
Yeah, Buddhist shamans, you know.
Right.
Some of them might have been Taoist, you know. I mean, it was...
Anything
but Christian.
Now, let's talk for a second. What does Genghis Khan mean, the name itself?
Oh, Genghis Khan. Yeah, because that's not his actual given name.
No.
So Genghis Khan is King of Kings.
So Genghis Khan is the King of Kings, and his father was the Hero of Jesus. Now Genghis had mounted warriors that used to ride around all over the plateaus, Right. Now, what were these mounted warriors called?
Tartars, or, you know, Tatari, Tartars. What's interesting is when you translate that or you start looking into the etymology of that, you'll find that some sources will say that it means mounted messenger.
So you've got the King of Kings with the hero of Jesus, and he's got mounted messengers. Now these are Mongolian Buddhists, right? And you know, the official history that we're told from the bullshit rewritten accounts of Marco Polo and all of that, right? I mean, because Marco Polo mentions Tartary, but somehow, you know, they've erased all of this.
Well, and then any like artist renditions of him, you know, he's dressed like a Tartar. He's not, at least that I've seen. I haven't seen him dressed like, you know, a Chinese person or anything. He's typically depicted wearing Tartar clothing, which that leads to another thing. So people are probably familiar with the Scottish tartan, you know, like the scarves or whatever with the patterns on them and everything. Well, when you look into the etymology of that, it goes right back into Tartary. So it shows you that
and the patterns of their colors were their family patterns,
right,
or whatever.
That was their clan, you know, their sub tribe or whatever within, because they all confederated, all these different clans and families, they all confederated to ensure each other's sovereignty.
Now, it even turns out when you look at this deep enough that China was even originally a Christian country.
Right. That's what really blows me away. You know, when you look at the character, the Chinese character for Asia, it's a cross with a stroke above and a stroke below. So like as above, so below, or heaven and earth, you know, like all of these different sayings, but it's a cross, you know, unmistakably, it's a cross.
And then a lot of their characters go through and basically represent Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and all of these kind of things, correct?
Right. When you look into a lot of the Chinese mythologies, it's all typifies the Christ character or the adversary or all of these different characters that we are familiar with in the Western world that are in the Bible. So, I mean, it's just it's just sleight of hand. You know, they've rewritten it in a poetic way or, you know, things like that to try to make it the way it's harder to pick up what is actually being talked about. Same thing with like Nordic culture. You know, you have Odin,
the All-Father.
Odin or Woden, the All-Father, or Adam, the father of all, you know, as we're familiar with in the scriptures, the father of all. And then Eve, the mother of all living. You know, it's all the same stuff. It's all Christianity. It really
now,
is.
So what we realized in researching all of this is that groups like the Theosophists had... You know, there were groups like UNESCO and all these fake UNESCO historical sites that
right.
Aldous or Julian Huxley was behind, and they basically manufactured half of these sites between the 1860s and 1950s, and you know, they recreate this history. But the Theosophists, which were headed by Madame Blavatsky, you know, and they tie into all kinds of crud here. Let's see. So Theosophy, just to get some of these up. So that connects right back into the Fabian Society and Aldous Huxley and Joseph Campbell, Jiddu Krishnamurti. I mean, that's the core of MKUltra right there. You know, we go right up to Emanuel Swedenborg and these things. But, you know, so this all ties in one step down, goes right back into MKUltra. But what we have with Tartary and with Theosophy is that they manufactured this false evolutionary history of Christianity to cover up Tartary's natural law and their belief in truth as God, right? And they even created a whole deity system to cover up that God was truth. And
right.
So they created this whole false evolutionary theory that we, you know, first there was Osiris, and then, you know, like Odin or Zarathustra, and then, you know, and then later Jesus is comes along at the end. Acharya S. argued this. I fell for it in my earlier work and drank their frickin' Kool-Aid and all of this stuff. But now I see it, because once you realize that Tartary was this vast empire across the entire region, then you suddenly get that all of these different religions were contemporary of Tartary.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with this evolutionary just nonsense theory. You know, I mean, they have to completely remove Tartary from the equation, and that's the only way you can come up with such nonsense theories.
Right. Well, and what's interesting, too, when you look at the Native Americans, right, which ties into aspects of the Book of Mormon and, you know, those records, what's interesting is when you look at the Native Americans as a nomadic people, and then you start looking at Tartary or the Mongols as a nomadic people, their cultures are, for all intents and purposes, they're essentially the same. And they're talking about the same things. They're, you know, they have same, you know, customs, same, a lot of the same things. I mean, and that's why there's confederacies that were along with the civilized tribes, you know. And so you start noticing all of these things, and even their teepees, and you look at
yurts and all of that too,
and everything. And well, and then that photo that I sent you the other day, those were literally teepees, you know, and that was right out of part of Mongolia. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, and then we realize, you know, there was even a Mongolian general who ordered, sorry, I'm just doing three things at once here, who ordered a bunch of the tribe to go to the Americas, and that was just found, Jacob had discovered it in the French group, just, you know, discussing all of this stuff. So, you know, then you see, oh, wait a second. So they would be Mongols. Now, what Fomenko makes the connection to, and I probably agree with him, because, you know, it's like, you know, because I used to live in Serbia, I can understand quite a bit of, you know, different Slavic languages. But, you know, so like in Serbo-Croatian and in Russian, mnogo is the word for many. So, you know, and then you have Mongol, and you just add some vowels in there, and you get Mnogo, right?
Right.
So they, you know, so, and then you realize, like, you know, and even like the fake, you know, Tibetan Buddhism nonsense with the CIA agent, the 14th Dalai Lama that heads it, and, you know, right. He's a communist who's afraid of the Chinese communists. He's a full-blown Marxist and all this crap.
Right.
But, you know, that religion was basically...
And he somehow got away.
But that whole religion was created basically in the 1490s as Tartary begins to collapse, you know? And so then, you know, it's not even an ancient religion, but they make it up like this, like it's this ancient thing. And they basically just created that out of Tartary Christianity. Now, what, you know, what people have to realize is that Tartary Christianity, it wasn't like what people think of Christianity for the most part today. It's totally right. Based in truth and honor. Jesus was essentially the hero that you strove to be during your lifetime, and then Genghis Khan was like the most purified representative of that, and he represented the 12 tribes.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Right. I mean, for everything that I've been looking at, I mean, that seems to be the case. I mean, he fits the description. And then when you start picking away a lot of the false, you know, accusations and things like that, I mean, it just happens to be in line with modern propaganda about other people, you know, that we, you know, either find out are either good people or we find out that they're bad people, right? And but they follow the same line of propaganda against people, and it's just too unmistakable.
Arthur just made a donation. Sorry for that, Arthur. I didn't mean to have it pop up on the screen there. So I appreciate that, though. Thanks for supporting the show. Somebody says tartar sauce is from Russia. You know, basically, you know, the irony is that all we have left of Tartary almost in the official history is tartar sauce.
Right. So here, I mean, people have to really wrap their heads around this. The world's largest known global power is
ever,
not taught,
ever
is not taught. Like, it's not even mentioned, you know.
Not even
lip service.
Right. And, we're talking the largest empire ever in the history of humankind. And so their messengers would ride up on people and be like, yeah, you know, our rules are honor and truth and natural law. You know,
right.
You're either with us or you're the enemy. And so they expanded over most of the planet. And, you know, so this is actually the story we get of suddenly Christianity expanding all over the globe. It wasn't this fake, you know, Vatican Rome built in the late 13th, early 14th century. You know, originally Rome was in Constantinople or Tsargrad, and, you know, it was probably also headed in Alexandria, but these books that are left here is probably what we have left of the destruction of the library at Alexandria. Now, what we need to also be clear of is that the Christians have been blamed for, you know, you delete the delete the fake Dark Ages, and then you realize that the Christians have been blamed for 900 years or more for the burning of the Library of Alexandria that they did not destroy. When you realize that the Christians were Tartary and Egypt was Tartary and Alexandria was the capital of Tartary, and that the Khazars coming in, the fake Caesars, Kaisers, Khazars, Tsars, etc., when they came in, they destroyed the Alexandrian libraries to wipe out all of the history of the knowledge of Grand Tartary.
Oh, exactly. And one, and it's continuing even to this day. I mean, just think about the past, you know, major conflicts, armed conflicts that we've had, these wars, world wars, and otherwise, you know, all these different wars in Afghanistan or Afghanistan.
You get the joke, everybody. It's Afghanis Khan. We're actually today still at war with Tartary, hundreds of years later.
Right. Yeah, and then what's the capital of Afghanistan? So I mean, Afghanistan is like a modern
Kabul.
Yeah, Kabul, and then Kabul Khan. You know, it's like
Wait.
I wonder what it could be talking about.
Gee, I can't. And so, folks, when you get this, then you begin to understand the Soviet Union and all this stuff, because what they did is they created the Soviet Union and the Iron Curtain to basically go in and murder 70 million people and wipe out the history of Tartary. And then they did it in China as well. And all of these wars over the last 400 years or so, you can actually see them going through and cleaning up and covering up Tartary, which probably includes the Maya and Cortez as well.
Right. Right. It's really incredible stuff. I mean, it was literally a global order. And that's why, you know, it was always funny to me before, and it took me a long time to actually make the connection. When you would hear these people talk about the new world order and everything, right? And but if there's a new world order, I mean that means that there had to have been an old world order. But nobody ever talks about, well, what was the old world order? And it was literally this entire history that is not talked about whatsoever.
So- And when you get that Tartary collapsed at this time and all of its people were murdered with the Black Plague and all of that, then you can see that when the new Catholic Church comes about in the 1400s in Italy, and they built the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel then, you can see the breakup of the church and Protestantism and the Anglican church, et cetera, suddenly happen, and then everything shatters and splits because it's no longer the true Tartary, you know, Christianity based on natural law and truth. The whole thing was subverted. The people were murdered off. You know, they murdered 50 to 70 million Europeans with the Black Plague, like 30 to 60% of Europe's entire population was murdered off.
Right. And then you have these different branches, you know, of Christianity, even just within Catholicism itself, or so-called Catholicism. You know, you have the Orthodox, you have like Roman Orthodox, you have Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, you know, but then you have like all of these other denominations and everything that disassociated with the Catholic Church. And it's all these different clans, really, just trying to preserve what was there. To some degree, as far as like some of the regular people within those structures, but then you have people that are at the top that are trying to cover all this stuff up, you know, like the Vatican and so forth, of course. But, you know, it's just interesting. You see all of this stuff. So there was this, the Reformation, you know, it's like the Reformation of what?
Yeah. And basically they went through and they rewrote everything and they had the false witch hunts, and then they went through and they burned all of the books and they rewrote them under Joseph Scaliger and Dennis Batavius and everything that Jacob Dulemon has exposed on the show already. Right. And they went through and they rewrote everything and then re-released these books in patterns of 333, 1052, and 1800 years, and they threw them back into history like frisbees, you know, to cover this whole thing up. And then we've been... Wow, somebody just made a donation of $125. Thanks for that, Social Monkey. I really appreciate that.
Nice.
And so, you know, so then we see how, you know, the church was fractured. They, you know, the fake Vatican was created, and then it is blamed. Christianity is blamed for the destruction of Alexandria. They're blamed for all of this false stuff that they didn't do. They were, you know, and we'll go into more of this next week, but, you know, the Christians were falsely blamed for the Salem witch trials as well.
Right.
And this will connect back into the destruction and wipeout of Tartary, you know, which just, you know, it's amazing the level of cover-up here. So, you know, so I'm going to show this on screen here. In 1347, the siege of Kaffa, now Feodosia in the Ukraine, attacking the Tartar army, had an epidemic of plague. And then they say the Tartars did this to their enemies. But this was, when you get it, and there's more records that we've been going through and seeing all of this, but Tartary itself, like 50 to 70 million people were murdered in... this black plague that was actually bio warfare used against them.
Right. It's, it's like probably one of the worst things that has ever happened in history. And like, I think a handful of people know anything about it. It's, it's a travesty, really. But you know, at least we're moving forward and we're starting to figure a lot of this stuff out and be able to uncover a lot of this.
So, well, you know, and we have some show notes here. Why don't we dive into some of this? Because, you know, we've got some really good notes and stuff in here to go through, but probably up at the top here. But, you know, so with Tartary, you know, so we know that they go through, they rewrite these books, they take out, in my estimation, is they took out at least 30 books out of the Old Testament, and then they split. Oh, one thing I should mention is that I do believe that the breakup of the books is known as what we call today the Tower of Babel.
Right, know? Right. And it does have a connection to language as well. You know, you have all these different dialects and everything just within the region of China itself. And then, you know, you go into Russia, there's a ton of different dialects and everything. It's a part of how they're working towards erasing a lot of this history is using linguistics, you know. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, it really blows me away. It's like when you start to realize, like, this is real. You know, it's like this was a real history that nobody's learning, nobody's getting anything out of it. So
all right, so let's dive into some of these textual references. Now we already kind of covered Ezekiel and the Quran, But, so, and there's a whole lot more of these, but I do want to cover some of these from the Book of Mormon because it starts talking about the same thing. And again, one thing that, the first thing people are going to say is, well, that's Masonic. Again, you have to just skip the last, skip everything that everybody's ever told you if you haven't read it yourself, right? And just, first of all, just, hear us through because people, I know they want to react to, what they heard from South Park or whatnot about it, so.
Right. I would encourage everybody to really just throw everything that you think you know from second, third, and fourth hand accounts and just really look at these books, that's how you get the grammar. You look into all of these things. Worst case scenario, if you've come to find out these are all bad groups or something, at least you understand why or how, and you have all of the grammar and logic.
Now you know your enemy, right?
Right, exactly. And so, that's worst case scenario, but so far from what we've been able to look into, it's like, this is the stuff that everybody should want to know.
And it's like, exactly why it's like Sun Tzu, right?
Yeah.
And just, if you want to know your enemy, study them. So why wouldn't you want to know this stuff? But again, it's like, if you start looking at this from another angle, you start realizing that something else is, entirely going, something that we can hardly even broach. It's so vast and how much they've covered this up. So let's just go into some of these Book of Mormon texts that talk about this. Why don't you read that second Nephi quote there?
Second Nephi, where do you have that at?
It should be on, I have it on page 4.
Oh, page 4, okay. Right. Yep. Okay. All right. So this is out of 2 Nephi, starting in verse 6. It says, "Thou fool that shall say, a Bible, we have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Have ye obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews? Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and that I remember those who are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and the earth beneath, and I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth? Wherefore, murmur ye because that ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, that I remember one nation like unto another? Wherefore, I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the nations shall run together also. And I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure, and because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another, for my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, neither from that time henceforth and forever. Wherefore, because ye have a Bible, ye need not suppose that it contains all my words, neither need ye suppose that I have not caused more to be written."
Now here's where it starts getting good, folks.
"For I commanded all men, both in the east and in the west and in the north and in the south and in the islands of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to their works, according to that which is written. For behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it, and I shall speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it, and I shall speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it, and I shall speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home unto the lands of their possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. And I will show unto them that fight against my word and against my people who are of the house of Israel that I am God, and that I covenanted with Abraham that I would remember his seed forever.
Yeah. So here's that, you know, house of Israel thing. And then I've seen it. Now, the Bible mentions the children of Israel. The Quran mentions the children of Israel. You know, and so we're seeing the same thing, and then the Papal Vuh is like, this thing gets written, interestingly, in like the 1540s or so, and it's not the original book. It's two guys in the 1540s who write it from memory, and it starts off by saying that they lost, you know, that they had come across the ocean in a boat, and they lost the original text, and basically, they're taking it from memory, and that, you know, and they're, it's like... they're doing what they can with it at that point, essentially, but it lays out pretty well. And you see these same themes, you know, coming out of the Papal Vuh. And then there was, like you said earlier, there were other texts. And we also suspect right. that the Mahabharata and others are part of these great books of Grand Tartary, you know, or of the House of Israel.
Right. Right. It's, I mean, there's a ton of work to be done in this area if anybody wants to jump in, you know. it's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it's like we're finding stuff just like, you know, daily.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like you know, so I've been going through all of the Apocrypha and Pseudepigraphia and the Nag Hammadi, when I forgot to add that one. So the right. Nag Hammadi text is supposed to be on the top of that as well. And when we go through all of these, you can actually go through and you can see how these books go together. And you can identify a lot of times which ones were false and not part of it, like they stuck right. them in like later on, you know.
Right. Well, and then there's the whole chronology factor, you know, and that ties in with a lot of what Fomenko was doing. And so, like, you had pointed this out, I remember on, I believe you wrote it on Facebook even, about the inversion in Old Testament, New Testament thing, if you want to talk about
yeah,
some
yeah,
of that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, well, that's huge. Well, you know, yeah. and...
That, wow. That's a whole other episode in and of itself, probably.
Well, you know, just to, you know, and that had started a big thing back last July, too. But, yeah. you know, so I had just suggested, what if the Old Testament came before the New? And then, you know, that caused a big old...
People freaked out
over the mere mention of the idea. But, right. You know, so what we had discovered, or what I had discovered more recently, was that it appears that the Jews were actually originally the tribe of Judas, and that this is why they were sent wandering. The Jews were the Khazars, whatever. They betrayed the other 11 tribes, or possibly 12 tribes, and they were sent packing, and this is why the Jews were left to... wander, and this was why they got kicked out of all of these places, because they had betrayed the covenant between the other hordes, and so, and then this caused a big shit show, I guess.
Yeah,
you know, that led to right. all of this fiasco, and then, you know, and then eventually what happened was this whole thing led to Tartary collapsing. And, you know, and the Tartars being massacred.
Right, right. Yeah. what can you say, right? It's like, it's funny when you start taking into consideration that, okay, so the Jews are not Judah, but Judas.
And it's Judaism, right?
Right, it's Judaism rather than, you know, the books of Judah, you know, in that context, what they're following. That's why, you know, mostly they follow the, what is it, the Talmud rather than the Torah, you know, and then they say, they give lip service to the Torah, but then they have this whole other set of text, which is funny because it's exactly what Christ was condemning and saying, you know, don't follow the laws of man. Well, that's what the Talmud is the laws of man. You know, so it's just really interesting when you start looking into this, and then you, if you scrap what you think you know about the chronology of all of these things, it opens up a hell of a lot of stuff. I mean, like for example, when we were considering about Joshua or Yeshua in the Old Testament, there seems to be like a lot of things that are very similar to things that were in the New Testament with Christ. And you'll hear some people say Yeshua Messiah, to refer to Christ as Yeshua Messiah rather than say Jesus, or they'll say Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh or something, you know, like these different supposed Hebrew terms. But it's interesting when you look at the way that there was a transfer of succession between Moses and Joshua, it's exactly the same transfer of succession that Christ has in the New Testament. He has Moses appear to him and on the mountain and all this stuff. And so it's like, well, wait a second. They're not supposed to be contemporary. So unless there is really like all of this mystic coming down out of heaven stuff, they would have had to have been contemporary. So, I mean, these are things that should be considered in relation to like, well, what was the chronology? What was really going on in these texts? Yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know, and if the audience has any questions they want to ask about this, you know, the topic is so vast. It's just,
right.
You know, and so what we're going to be doing is over the next weeks, months, I think you and I and Mark and possibly Jacob as well will be building this out, and we kind of want to take things in a different direction that we, you know, talked about as well. But, you know, and we've only got like 8 minutes here, so if you want to go on more or whatever, but we can do that or whatever. But, you know, so... In your opinion, you know, understanding Tartary, which happened to you, what, 6-8 months ago, what is the biggest, like, you know, revelation or whatever that's come to you in understanding all of this and this fake history we've all been fed?
Wow. Yeah, loaded question. I don't know, like, literally, like how you were mentioning earlier, I mean, every day we've been having like new insights and everything into these different histories or aspects of history. I would say the biggest thing about this whole thing is the fact that it was literally a global empire, and it unifies a lot of the questions or the mysteries, if you will, of history. The things that people say, you know, oh, we can't figure these things out. Well, when you start considering Tartary as a global order, a lot of that stuff gets solved. Like a lot of that stuff really starts to fit together, and all these different pieces start to fall in. So it's really the missing piece to pretty much most everything that people, historians and stuff, haven't been able to figure out, supposedly. You know, and I don't understand how any historian, there's just no way in hell that any of these historians have overlooked this. You know, I mean, if we're able to just dig up a lot of these things casually, you know, upon our initial research into it, there's just no way that these people have, you know, not seen this stuff, you know, and for them to not even mention it, even, you know, good, bad or ugly, they just don't even mention it.
I didn't have, you know, growing up, high school, college, any of that. I didn't have one mention of Tartary that I can recall anywhere ever.
Right. Right. Me either.
You know, we're just fed this whole, you know, nonsense Roman history.
Right. You know?
And, you know, and then you start looking at things like, you know, Cortez coming to the New World and all this stuff. It has a totally different meaning to it when you see Tartary in the picture.
What were they concerned with, right? So these people, and everybody's heard this before, I'm sure, the Native Americans and the South and Central Americans and everything, waiting for the great white God to come again and all of this stuff. And I mean, it's akin to what we're familiar with as the second coming. And that's like how a lot of Westerners think about it. Oh, the second coming of Christ. It's just funny because all of these tribal nomadic peoples and, you know, these natives of the New World, they were waiting for the exact same thing. And so it's kind of like, how do you ignore that? That was part of actually how the Spaniards overtook the area, because they had their guard down because they thought, oh, look, it's the great white God returning, you know? And so they weren't militarily prepared to deal with any kind of a threat, because they literally let their guard.
You know, and Montezuma was a complete douche, and he had, you know, enslaved and murdered so many people that when Cortez came, you know, and I've got the Florentine Codex Book 12 upstairs that covers the whole, you know, history from the Aztec point of view of the war. And, you know, they were so fed up with Montezuma that when Cortez came, they were like, you know, we're going with this guy. You know?
Right. It's like, well, that's an upgrade.
Yeah. You know, and people got to realize, like, you know, Mexico, the Mexica, that was a massive, massive empire, you know, and especially if we realize it was probably very most likely connected with Tartary.
Right.
Or like a branch off, you know, something happened and they were distanced from Tartary. But when we see all of this, Cortez rolling in and doing all of this, the Indians are bad term, and the Mexica was just one tribe. There were dozens, hundreds of surrounding tribes, but they see Cortez come in and they say, we're done with the Mexica, we're joining Cortez, and, you know, they helped Cortez wipe out the Mexican Empire. And that's like what most people don't want to understand about, you know, this whole history, but you can go in and read about it from the Aztecs themselves.
Right. Right. And something to be clear about, too, since we're talking about, you know, religious texts, we're not endorsing or telling anybody to join any church or anything like that. It's we're just saying, you know, you have to look at these texts so that you can start to make these connections and figure out what is actually even being talked about. Because a lot of these organizations and everything, they're pretty much there for misdirection. They're there for control and stuff to keep eyes on people, make sure they don't figure this kind of stuff out. And that's why you'll specifically have the, at least all the Christian groups I know of, they'll tell you don't read the Quran. And most of the, you know, Islamic groups that I've been around and stuff, they'll tell you don't worry about the Bible. And the Jews will tell you don't worry about either, you know, and it's... It's, you know, everybody's, these different groups, you know, they're telling you don't read each other's stuff. It's like, well, why not? You know?
Yeah. You know, another thing I wanted to mention too, is that one of the biggest things I've seen, one of the biggest mistakes I've seen, and I've made it myself, is spot reading these books.
Yeah.
All of them. Right. All the way through.
Right. Or looking at a second or third opinion before reading it yourself.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm going to take everybody else's opinion about what these texts say rather than my own, you know, and it's just, you know, just dive in and read them yourself. And that's the best thing you can do, is just, you know, understand them. And then you can understand all this crud that's going on, and suddenly all of the Satanist crap going on that me and Hans and everybody, we've all exposed, you know.
Right.
It all starts making sense. But if you don't read it, you can't understand it, you know. So just
right. I mean, and that's why, I mean, if people really want to, you know, consider this, it's what are the books that always get demonized by these people, these different groups, you know?
And it's like the more it's demonized, the more you should read it, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty much what the scale is an indicator of, right? It's like the more they hate on it, the more you should be picking it up and figuring out what exactly they don't want you to know in there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, well, we've got like a minute left here. Is there anything else you want to add? You know, and again, I want to just mention really quickly, you know, we will have you back on as we flush out more of this whole thing. But, you know, we'll put right. together something awesome on all of this pretty soon here.
Right. And so for anybody that might be confused about us not having a lot of citations and everything, I mean, this is more or less just to, you know, just to, as a primer. You know, and we'll get into a lot of the citations and everything that we've been finding, and there's just a ton of stuff. I just didn't want to, you know, yeah. There's a ton of stuff in there. That's definitely a must read for a lot of this stuff. But yeah, just people really need to start looking at these texts, and then as we continue through these episodes and start really digging into everything, it'll make a lot more sense as we start to talk about stuff. Because if you're unfamiliar with them, it'll be like we're speaking a different language. But
yeah, and as you read them yourself and just start to understand them, it all kind of starts making sense, you know. And then it's like, right. Wait a second, you know, the Muslims accuse the Christians of Jews doing this. Why don't you guys just put the books back together and
right.
stop messing around? And maybe the Muslims would stop being pissed off about the whole thing.
Right, you know? Right.
It's like they fudged the books like 400 years ago. It's like,
Right. And so, because I just recently went to a mosque because I was investigating and trying to see like if there was other things that I should consider reading and stuff. And I mean, they had a pretty amazing library, I have to say. But what was interesting is they have the perspective that because these other records have been tampered with, they just discard them. They won't read them because they think, well, it's been tampered with. I don't need to read it. It's been tampered with. And they're worried about being deceived and things like that, which is a legitimate concern, but you still have to read that stuff to figure out where the error and everything is.
And that's, you know, that's why it's so important to use the trivia method when you're going through this stuff right. as well. You know, I mean, it's absolutely essential because then you can constantly check yourself and does this make sense? Is it in line with logos, et cetera? Is it totally off? Right.
Right. And so because they've rejected it, they're doing the best that they know how to do within the context of just their record. And that's why there's some error, you know, and then, but if they had the New Testament and so forth, then they'd be able to see like, oh, that's why this keeps happening. Or, you know, we've had these problems or, you know, it puts everything in perspective and it makes everything jive together where it becomes very simple over time to see exactly what you should be doing.
Well, you know, and we can, when we begin to look at Tartary, you know, and again, this is just, you know, we've, you know, Jacob and I have discussed it some and we've tried to get it out there, but as we begin to pierce this, suddenly you really begin to see this history that they've covered up from us and as well why they've covered it up and why it's so important that they've kept it covered it up, you know, kept it covered right. up, excuse me.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, you know, is like, we're just talking about, you know, everybody, come on, you got to read this stuff. We haven't even got into like the line upon line principles of natural law that's in there. Because it's just a ton of stuff. And when you start looking at it, it's like, wow, like this is stupid simple, you know, like how the heck did we miss this stuff? And then all of the old cliches that you hear, heard growing up, you know, all the, you know, things that Christians and stuff say, all of a sudden it starts making sense to you and you just start laughing.
Yeah, it really does. All right. Well, we'll have to get back again. I think next week, I think we're going to be talking about the Salem witch trials and Harvard's darkest secret. And so that'll be exciting. Thanks, everybody, for donating and supporting the show. Can't do it without all of you. So anyway, much appreciated. And Robert, thanks for coming on. Look forward to having you back again. You know, we're going to dive into lots of stuff here. You know, we might, like I said, switch things up entirely over the next several weeks or so. But anyway, thanks for coming on, and we will
Thank you for having me. And just one more thing I would suggest for people to do is, as Jacob and everybody has mentioned before, you know, this stuff isn't cheap, you know, buying a lot of these books and everything. So everybody who can, you know, or feel that this is worthwhile information, just send Jan a donation. You know, he uses it sparingly and he uses it for research purposes and everything and to keep the lights on. So let's support Jan in that and, you know, give him appreciation for bringing, you know, the trivium and everything to a lot of us. And just thank you, Jan. And
I really appreciate that. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Good night. We'll see you next week. We're going to have a really mind-blowing show and really looking forward to that. So anyway, take care. Until next time.